Good evening. We'd like to welcome everyone to this evening's City Council meeting for Monday, October 28th, 2013. I'm Mayor Scott Smith, and as always, it's an honor and privilege for me to conduct this meeting. We'll begin tonight's meeting with the invocation from Pastor Andrew Hill, after which Matthew Wolfendom from Troop 751 will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Please rise for the invocation and the pledge.
Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Father God, we thank you for this new day. We thank you for opportunities individually and corporately, especially as this council meets here this evening. We pray your blessing upon the city of Mesa. We pray specifically for Mayor Scott Smith, for council members David Luna, Christopher Glover, Alex Finter, Dennis Kavanaugh, Scott Summers, Dave Richens. Be with them, Father, and help them guide, help guide them in their decisions this evening. Be also protective of our city service members, the Mesa Police Department, men and women serving, Mesa firefighters, our schools, our teachers, our students, and especially the citizens of the city of Mesa. We pray not only for your protection, but also for your direction, for all those you have placed in positions of responsibility and leadership within this great city, the city of Mesa, Arizona. We ask your blessing once again, Father, be with us as we meet this evening. We pray all these things in the glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance in the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you, Reverend Hilla, and thank you, Matthew. If you look around up on the rostrum here and on the there, it's not that everyone got the bad memo that, or got a memo. Actually, we did get a memo, but everyone didn't show up in purple today. This is in commemoration with October being National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And I was pleased as mayor to sign a proclamation declaring this as such. And we decided that since purple is the color that recognizes our efforts to basically eliminate domestic violence, which is one of the huge problems that we have, we all dressed in purple. To help commemorate this, I'd like to turn the time over to Councilmember David Luna. Councilmember Luna is Mesa's representative on the Maricopa Association of Governments Domestic Violence Council, and would like to turn over to Councilmember Luna.
Thank you, Mayor Smith. I'd like to read the portion of the proclamation that was sent out. Whereas in recognition of the important work done by domestic violence programs, National Domestic Violence Month urges all citizens to actively participate in scheduled activities and programs to work towards improving victim safety and holding perpetrators of domestic abuse accountable for their actions against individual victims and our society as a whole. Many of you may not be aware that 1 in 4 women and 1 in 12 men is a victim of domestic violence. It touches each of us and every one of us. It's preventable. Tonight, I want to bring attention to this very important subject. The mayor and the council had appointed me to serve as council representative of MAG, as the mayor mentioned. This is an issue that I'm very passionate about and excited to serve on this committee. Since this is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, I'd like to take a moment to recognize staff, leaders, and programs in our community for their efforts to bring awareness on domestic violence. Mesa established the Family Advocacy Center in 1996. It's the first of its kind in Arizona. Victims who come to the center have many resources, partners that can help them, including trained police detectives, CPS workers, Phoenix Children's Hospital, forensic nurses, examiners, counseling provided by A New Leaf, and easy access to prosecutors from the city and the county. I want to thank the staff of Domestic Violence Advocacy Center for their dedication and commitment to victims of domestic violence and their families. I also want to thank the Mesa Police Department for their dedication to this issue. We have two DV squads present with us, which conduct regular roundups of DV offenders on warrant issues. Commander Joe Shelley, if you could stand. And also with him is Monica Rome, Mary Garduño, John Gamina, Annie Chalk, Sergeant Jaime Castañeda. Thank you. Thank you very much. Commander Shelley has been working with his team, with our prosecutors, to find innovative ways to identify victims of domestic violence. I've given my fellow council members, you, as well as you, Mayor, these cards. These cards have been implemented to standardize domestic violence investigation assessments, questionnaires to identify victims of domestic violence. City Prosecutor Office Victim Services, John Ellison, if you would stand, please, and his staff are passionate about this issue and bringing justice to victims. John was dedicated to prosecuting DV cases at the county. He has brought that passion to Mesa. Thank you, John. He serves on the MAG Domestic Violence Council along with me. He talks about this issue at public events, and he has created a DV prosecutor position. John's prosecutors and victim services staff, they do an amazing job in handling these cases, and I want to thank them for their efforts. But I also want them, there are some present. Can, let's see, Rebecca Begay. Is Rebecca here? Shelley Ward. Laura Messengel. Ana Rodriguez. Serena Camacho. And Clerk Chanel Bender. Yvonne Wagadi. Not here. His team works closely with the Maricopa County Adult Probation, including Sherry Tucker. Sherry here? There she is. Thank you. She's supervisor of Maricopa County Adult Probation for domestic violence, and she currently handles all our DV cases. Jill Bogner, okay, and Lynn Sunny Carpenter. Thank you so much. And I also want to recognize Dan Maggi. He does a tremendous job in protecting victims of domestic violence and preventing future occurrences. He is responsible for the most serious domestic violence cases arising in Mesa Municipal Court. Dan and Samantha Rivera, Samantha here? Thank you, Samantha. As well as other Mesa City prosecutors work closely with the police department and the Maricopa County Attorney's Office to ensure justice is done in every case. And one of our community partners is A New Leaf, which I am part of. And if we could have Dana stand up. Thank you, Dana. Dana is the program manager for the East Valley Women's Shelter and Domestic Violence Stop. I want to thank you, all of you, for your tireless efforts in helping to curb this very, very important issue. Your work will go unnoticed. Thank you so much. And did we want to bring forward?
Yeah, if we could gather, I don't know how many we want to get down there, or as many as we can.
As many as we can. If
that's as many possible. As we can to get a picture with the proclamation. And, you know, the reason I love that, and thank you, Councilmember Luna, for that eloquent talk about it. But to see all the, you know, all the people who work within the Mesa organization, City of Mesa, to really deal with an issue which is we don't talk about all that much enough in this community. It's one of those secrets that even the victims, we found one of the problems with it. Even the victims don't like to talk about. Thank you so much for your work, because being here brings a real human side and reminds us that we do more in this city than just the basic things. We really do deal with people's lives, and we protect people, and we help people as much as we can. And this is one great example. So thank you for bringing this to the front, and thank you all for being here. So, yeah, if everyone wants to go down to the front, let's get a photo. Thank you to all, and thanks for your patience. That was a picture well worth taking. Next, we'd like to ask our Parks and Rec Director, Mark Hirschberg. There you are, Mark. To come up and talk about a couple of great accomplishments in our Parks Recreation. Excuse me, I forgot the commercial facilities. I didn't want to offend them. Director of Parks, Recreation, and Commercial Facilities.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. It's a pleasure to be with you tonight and celebrate our successes with you. First, I'd like to start off, again, celebrating a great partnership with Mesa Public Schools and Arizona Disabled Sports Association. Together, the three of us pull off tremendous services for the disabled population in our community, and we were fortunate to be recognized by the Arizona Parks and Recreation Association this past August for Outstanding Adaptive Program. We have a quick video to share with you highlighting that program.
Outstanding Program Awards Adaptive. Every successful organization knows that their achievement depends on a community of persons working together. Mesa Parks and Recreation, Arizona Disabled Sports, and Mesa Public Schools is a true example of collaboration between a municipal government, a unified school district, and a nonprofit organization, and the positive impact the partnership can have on a community. Together, these agencies have created Desert Challenge Games. Since the creation of Arizona Disabled Sports in 1990, the partnership of these three agencies provides the most comprehensive sports and leisure programs that serve youth and adults with intellectual and physical disabilities. In addition, they provide national and international competitions, with one of the most elite being Desert Challenge Games. The Desert Challenge Regional Games began in the early 1980s with a small group of track athletes from Arizona Disabled Sports competing against track athletes from Tucson. In 1990, these games grew to include swimming and weightlifting, and in 1991, it became the Far West Regional Qualifying Event for track and field for physically disabled athletes. In future years, the Desert Challenge Games competition expanded to include archery, table tennis, and rifle shoot. In 2013, the Desert Challenge Games was selected as one of the six international sites approved for hosting one of the Grand Prix events sanctioned by the International Paralympic Committee. And in this past May, over 225 athletes from 24 different states, as well as Colombia, Mexico, Canada, and Japan, competed in the Desert Challenge Games. With hosting the Desert Challenge Games in Arizona, local athletes now have the ability to gain experience and compete against the world's finest Paralympic athletes without having the expense of travel. Over two dozen Arizona athletes have competed in the Paralympic or World Games that began their careers competing at Desert Challenge Games. Please congratulate Mesa Parks and Recreation, Arizona Disabled Sports, and Mesa Public Schools as the recipients of the 2013 APRA Outstanding Adaptive Program Award.
Again, a tremendous partnership that's grown to, if you caught that in the video, to be one of six internationally recognized events for Paralympic qualifying. So I'd like to bring up Executive Director of Arizona Disabled Sports, Lane Graham, Director of Athletics for Mesa Public Schools, Steve Hogan, and City of Mesa Adaptive Program Coordinator, Mark Grant, Mayor, for a picture, if you would. The second recognition that we received was about 2.5 years in the making, and something our department took very seriously to put efforts towards accomplishing. And I'd like to bring up Leslie Clark, who's our management assistant too in our department, who really spearheaded this effort for us in leading us towards gaining national accreditation. As I mentioned, this was a 2.5 year process for us to go through that includes starting with a self-study assessment that's submitted to a commission of peer reviewers to identify and make sure we have what standards we're meeting. 144 different standards benchmarking the best practices in parks and recreation across the country. To even make it past the review part, you have to have met a minimum of 115 of those standards. Once you make it past that round, you set up a visitation review by three peers from across the country that come in and spend a week with us reviewing all of our files, our documentation, touring facilities, meeting with staff, making sure everything we said and the evidence we presented in our self-study assessment was true and we were putting into practice. Not only did our visitation leave last March with a glowing report, and not only did we meet those 115 standards, we met all 144 standards. This past October, earlier this month, Councilmember Richens traveled with Leslie and I to our accreditation hearing in Houston, Texas, where we met before the full commission, and the full commission reviewed again our self-study assessment, the visitation team report, and voted on that site for accreditation. And we were fortunately successfully awarded the accreditation nationally accredited Parks and Recreation Department by the Commission on Accreditation of Parks and Recreation Agencies. A lot of mouthfuls, but I didn't want to pay the quarter for acronyms. So again, it's a tremendous honor. We were the 110th agency in the country to be recognized. one of the largest cities in the country to have the accreditation, and only the fourth in Arizona. So we have that. We just actually received the accreditation crystal. Today in the mail, the official one arrived. So Mayor, Councilmember Richens, as Chair of the Community and Cultural Development Committee, we'd like to present this to you. Again, thank you for your support. We appreciate it, and we'll keep doing good things out there in the community.
Now, thank you for, first of all, doing good enough work that you're recognized by your peers, and then especially sharing it. One of the things, just so you know, that this council has I don't want to use the word allowed, because we've really encouraged, is number one, to participate in some of these third-party award programs. It's always good to get an independent party telling you how you're doing. And we really strive to participate actively in these, because when you win, it's sort of a confirmation that you're probably doing something right. When you don't win, it gives you cause to sit back and say, okay, what can we do better? So we use these really as not just extracurricular activities. We really use them to try and better ourselves and try and gauge how we're doing against our peers, because that's the best way we have to measure the effectiveness of what we're doing. Hopefully that means that we're being effective to our citizens. And once we get something, we want to celebrate it. We want to remind everyone that there are good things going on in this city, and this is not just a city award, it's a community award. So thank you for sharing that with all of us. The next item on the agenda is the consent agenda, and tonight the consent agenda will be read into the record by Kevin Christopher. Mr. Christopher.
Good evening. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you are interested in speaking, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you will be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes of previous meetings as written. Item 3A, act on liquor license application for Knights of Columbus, All Saints Council 9485, one-day fraternal event, Saturday, November 2nd, 1534 North Record. Item 3B, act on liquor license application for Knights of Columbus, All Saints Council 9485, one-day fraternal event, Saturday, December 7th, 1534 North Record. Item 3C, act on liquor license application for a New Leaf Foundation, one-day charitable event, Saturday, November 9th, 1859 West Guadalupe Road. Item 3D, act on liquor license application for St. Timothy Catholic Church, one-day religious event, Friday, November 15th, 1730 West Guadalupe Road. Item 3E, act on liquor license application for Ultimate Imaginations Incorporated, one-day charitable event, Friday, November 1st on Main Street from Center Street to Robeson. Item 3F, act on liquor license application for Venture Out Social Club Incorporated, one-day civic event, Saturday, November 16th, 5001 East Main Street. Item 3G, act on liquor license application for Venture Out Social Club Incorporated, one-day civic event, Monday, January 13th, 5001 East Main Street. Item 3H, act on liquor license application for On the Green Sports Grill, 801 South Power Road. Item 3I, act on liquor license application for Angry Crab Shack Restaurant, 2740 South Alma School Road. Item 3J, act on liquor license application for the Palms Theater, 5247 East Brown Road. Item 4A, act on three-year term contract for uniform garment rental for various city departments. Item 4B, act on one-year renewal of service contract for automated driveway entrance exit gate operators for the facilities maintenance department. Item 4C, act on one-year renewal of term contract for tires for the materials and supply warehouse for fleet services and the fire and medical services departments. Item 4D, act on one-year renewal of term contract for tires for the materials and supply warehouse for fleet services and the fire and medical services departments. Item 4E, act on contract to purchase one replacement light-duty pickup truck and one cab and chassis service body vehicle for the Parks, Recreation, and Commercial Facilities Department. This purchase is funded by the Vehicle Replacement Fund and the General Fund Capital. Item 4F, act on contract to purchase three replacement vehicles and two additional vehicles for the Police Department. The replacements are funded by the Vehicle Replacement Fund, and the two additions will be funded by the Governor's Office of Highway Safety. Item 4G, act on dollar limit increase to the term contract for emergency vehicle equipment and installation services for police patrol vehicles as requested by Fleet Services. Item 4H, act on four-month extension and dollar limit increase to the term contract for temporary Agency Worker Services as requested by the Human Resources Department. Item 4I, Act on Dollar Limit Increases and 3-month extensions to the term contracts for temporary employment services as requested by the Arts and Culture and the Parks, Recreation, and Commercial Facilities Departments. Item 5A, Act on Resolution authorizing the City Manager to accept funding made available through a federal sub-award agreement with the University of Illinois for the Police Department for overtime, equipment, supplies, and safe ride subsidies. Item 5B, Act on Resolution authorizing the City Manager to accept funding made available through a charitable contribution from State Farm Mutual for the Police Department for overtime for teen driver safety awareness programs. Item 5C, Act on Resolution authorizing the City Manager to accept funding made available through a subgrantee agreement with the Arizona Department of Homeland Security for the Police Department for training and equipment. Item 5D, Act on Resolution authorizing the City Manager to accept funding made available through a subgrantee agreement with the Arizona Department of Homeland Security for the Police Department for training and equipment. Item 5E, Act on Resolution authorizing the City Manager to accept funding made available through a highway safety contract with the Governor's Office of Highway Safety for the Police Department for overtime to support and enhance selective traffic enforcement. Item 5F, Act on Resolution authorizing the City Manager to accept funding made available through a highway safety contract with the Governor's Office of Highway Safety for the Police Department for overtime expenses to enhance and support impaired driver DUI alcohol enforcement. Item 5G, Act on Resolution authorizing the City Manager to accept funding made available through a highway safety contract with the Governor's Office of Highway Safety for the Police Department's Forensic Services Division toward the purchase of DUI equipment. Item 5H, Act on Resolution authorizing the City Manager to execute a subgrantee agreement with the Arizona Department of Homeland Security for grant funds for equipment, training, and planning for the Fire and Medical Services Department's Rapid Response Team. Item 5I, Act on Resolution authorizing the City Manager to execute an agreement with Clean Energy relating to the installation, lease, and maintenance of a temporary compressed natural gas fueling station and the purchase of associated equipment at the 6th Street Service Center Yard. Item 5J, Act on Resolutions extinguishing public and private drainage easements on lots 1 through 8 of the final plat for First Mesa Commerce Park Phase 1. Item 5K, Act on Resolution relating to foreign trade zone property tax reclassification requirements for the city to issue its support for a foreign trade zone application. Item 6A, Act on Ordinance regarding Z13-043, 3225 South Power Road, located on the east side of Power Road, just south of Guadalupe Road, modification of a planned area development to allow the development of a self-storage facility. Item 6B, Act on Ordinance regarding Z13-044, the 5600 to 6000 blocks of South Signal Butte Road, and the 10,800 to 11,100 blocks of East Williamsfield Road, located in the northeast corner of Signal Butte and Williamsfield. This is for a rezone and site plan review to allow residential development. Item 6C, Act on Ordinance amending various sections of the Mesa City Code, Title 5, Chapter 17, adopting the pledge debt analysis for continuation of impact fees and continuing the development impact fees as currently assessed. The ordinance is to comply with the requirements in the Arizona revised statutes. Item 6D, Act on Ordinance amending Title 5, Chapter 10 of the Mesa City Code to adopt the changes made to the Model City Tax Code by the Municipal Tax Code Commission. Arizona revised statutes requires that all Arizona cities and towns adopt changes approved by the commission. Item 7A, Act on Subdivision Plat Estancia at Mountain Bridge, the 8700 to 8800 blocks of the north side of East Upper Canyon Drive, located north of McKellops Road and west of Ellsworth Road. And Item 7B, Act on Subdivision Plat Bolivia at Mountain Bridge, the 8600 to 8800 blocks of the south side of East Upper Canyon Drive, located north of McKellops Road and west of Ellsworth Road. Mayor and Council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Thank you, Kevin. Are there any item? Is there any item that the any member of the council would like to remove from the consent agenda? Ms. Mickelson, any requests from the public to remove an item from the consent agenda?
No request, Mayor.
Okay. We have a motion to approve the consent agenda from Councilmember Kavanaugh. I have a second from Councilmember Glover. Is there any discussion? Please vote. Vote is 7-0 in the affirmative. The consent agenda is approved. The next item on the agenda is item 8A, which is to conduct a public hearing on the item in item 8B, which is GP minor 13-006, a resolution regarding the 800 and 900 blocks of West Southern Avenue, the 1,200 and 1,300 blocks of South Extension Road, and the 800 and 900 blocks of West Grove Avenue. 3.67 acres approximately, and this is changing. This request will allow multi-residence development. So public hearing is open. Are there any questions or comments from the council? Any requests to speak from the public?
No requests, Mayor.
Okay. You want to just wait it out, or you do be fine with where we are, Mr. Gilbert?
He's doing great.
Okay.
Great.
All right, good.
Thank you for noticing.
There being no further comments, declare the public hearing closed. The next item that we were voting on now was 8B, which is GP Minor 13-006, which I previously described in the public hearing. We have a motion to approve from Councilmember Summers, a second from Councilmember Kavanaugh. Is there any discussion or questions? Please vote. The vote is 7-0. The motion carries. The next item is item 8C, which is the zoning related to the same property, Z13-045, as previously described. We have a motion to approve from Councilmember Kavanaugh, a second from Councilmember Glover. Are there any questions or comments? Please vote. The motion is 7 ayes, no nays. The motion carries. The next item is a public hearing on GP Major 13-01, a resolution regarding the 8,284 blocks of East Baseline Road, the North Side General Plan Land Use Major Amendment from High Density Residential 15 Plus and Neighborhood Commercial to Medium Density Residential 6 to 10, MDR 6-10, High Density Residential 15 Plus and Neighborhood Commercial on 54 plus acres at the northwest corner of Loop 202, Santan Freeway and Baseline Road. Declare the public hearing open. Are there any questions or comments? Are there any requests to speak from the public?
No requests, Mayor.
Okay, we'll move ahead then. Declare the public hearing closed. Next item is to vote on item 8E, which is the Major General Plan 13-01 as previously described. We have a motion to approve from Councilmember Summers, a second from Councilmember Kavanaugh. Is there any discussion? Please vote. The motion is 7-0 in the affirmative. The motion carries. The next item is item 8F, conduct a public hearing for a GP Major item, the item in 8G, GP Major 13-02. This is a resolution regarding 3,300 to 3,600 blocks of East Thomas Road on the north side and the 3,600 block of North Val Vista Drive. A general plan land use major amendment from mixed use residential to high density residential on 13 plus or minus acres at the northwest corner of Thomas Road and Val Vista Drive. I know we have some comments like this, so I'd like to call Stephen Earle up. Mr. Earle, if you'd like to come on up and explain to us the reason for your request.
Mayor Smith and members of the council, for your record, my name is Stephen Earle. My address is 3101 North Central Avenue in Phoenix. I'm here tonight on behalf of Kitchell Development Company, who is the owner of this property. If I can get this to work correctly, the next slide. The up and down arrows, maybe the up, it's these arrows. There we go. This property is located, as indicated on the agenda, at the northwest corner of Val Vista Drive and Thomas, just south of the 202 freeway. It's, in fact, at the off-ramp. You'll notice that when the freeway came through, it changed the dynamics of this area quite a bit. This was kind of the north end of the city. On the other side of the river is the Native American community, so there really are no demographics north of this site. And it was part of a much larger employment area. However, when the freeway came through, it cut through this particular rectangular property at an angle and left this remnant parcel of 13 acres, which narrows down to 90 feet at Val Vista Drive with no access permitted to Val Vista, and then has a series of things which I'll show you in a minute in terms of what is allowed. The next major thing that occurred, well, first, what's the general plan currently allowed? This old or former general plan map showed the 13 acres a part of a much larger mixed-use residential area. And the designation mixed-use residential calls for 30% high-density apartments and 70% employment. And you can see that at the time of the general plan, most of the area was shown in that category, allowing for a series of mixed-use projects that it would have been a part of. So it already allowed for some apartments, but mostly it was designed as an employment area, similar to the fact that to the east of this area is Falcon Field. This is how the general plan changed about 6 to 7 years ago, when the council approved a significant shift in the general plans for the area by calling everything south of Thomas Road as you go to the southwest higher density single family 4 to 6 and then lower density single family of 2 to 4 down to the canal, with the exception of the pit, which remained MUR. So this parcel, once a part of a much larger employment area, became a 13-acre kind of leftover remnant. The next slide shows that not only is it a remnant parcel, but the zoning on it is general industrial. At the beginning of the general industrial purpose statement, it says to provide areas for manufacturing, processing, assembly, research, wholesale, storage, and similar activities that require separation from residential uses due to noise, vibration, use, or hazardous materials. And then you can see I've highlighted some of the uses that are permitted in the zoning category on the property, which includes not only manufacturing, but outdoor contractor yards, wholesaling, warehousing, and freight installations. Well, going back to this slide, where once this property may have been appropriate for these uses of a general industrial, when you put residential across the street, it's supposed to be separated from those uses because of the amount of truck traffic associated with such uses. In fact, I'm currently working on a case in South Mountain part of Phoenix, and I'm trying to get that development to go from multifamily toward these kinds of uses, and the neighbors are absolutely opposed because of the amount of truck traffic associated with these industrial uses. So it was felt at that time that even though the property was already zoned for general industrial uses, that Kitchell, being an award-winning developer in the city and in the greater Arizona area for the last 50-plus years, has won awards in its industrial developments, in its commercial retail developments, and in its multifamily developments. I would make the point about its multifamily development, since quality and concern for quality is an issue with some neighbors. The only apartments that Kitchell has ever built are at the top of the food chain, so to speak. They've teamed up with Mark Taylor on a number of projects that I'll show you in a minute. And just like there's a whole range of single family from starter homes to custom homes, there's a range of apartments as well. And this property is not subject to zoning. It's not subject to being purchased later. It's owned by Kitchell and has been owned for a few years. They prefer to have a higher end multifamily project because they view this as kind of a gateway location. In fact, we think the city views it as a gateway location as well. Whereas once before, when the freeway wasn't there, it might have been at the top end of the city adjacent to the Native American community in a riverbed. Now it's at the entrance off of a freeway. So rather than general industrial uses, it was felt that this could be a new component for the greater employment area, which would be multifamily. In terms of our neighborhood outreach plan, this slide shows that the black circle around the site was where the city would normally require notice to be given. The darker dashed black line is where notice actually went in terms of working with the city. So both sides of Alvista, both sides of Thomas Road, so that the much larger area could be notified of this proposal. We held a neighborhood meeting, but candidly, we held it a number of months ago. There was very little attendance, and so we went out into the neighborhood. You can see that many of the homes are not yet built, but wherever you see a color, a home is built. And so we went through this neighborhood 7 different times, and in that process we found support from 31 that we've turned into those statements of support. We found some who were undecided, we found 9 that were opposed, and we found a few that were not home, and the rest were vacant and not yet owned. In terms of the site itself, the site is a rather strangely shaped parcel, both because of the freeway and because of a few other things. It has a cell tower near the corner. It has underground utilities that belong to the city of Mesa that are very large and very deep, a sewer line and a water line, and over them nothing can be built other than landscaping. There's also a transmission line that bisects the site. That's the second blue line. And there's a site owned by SRP for a well. Trying to build anything around those has been challenging. In the pre-session, there was a question asked by Mayor Smith as to why didn't the zoning case accompany this plan amendment? And the answer is that at the time we were seeking to bring both a minor amendment and the zoning case together. It turned out that the property, even though 13 acres, qualified as a major amendment because it was at the extreme northwest tip of the Falcon Field subarea. Well, when you have a major general plan amendment, you have deadlines. You have to get them filed quickly at the beginning of the year or you lose an entire year. So we made the request for the major general plan amendment. We've held our pre-app on the zoning case with staff. We've taken all of their comments, and we're still working on a number of comments to work around these various challenges. One of the questions that came up in working with the neighbors was the amount of traffic they were concerned about. Well, first of all, the number one thing to remember is the current zoning would allow more traffic associated with its use than what we're proposing. With multifamily. But second of all, what's out there today in terms of improved streets are not what will be there ultimately. So we went to the general plan. Both Val Vista and Thomas Road are shown as major arterials. That means there'll be at least four lanes, two in each direction with center lanes and right turn lanes. Additionally, what's not there today is the fact that Thomas Road will go over the freeway. It actually does, but it's not improved. And go all the way to Gilbert Road. Val Vista as well is a major arterial, and they both can carry a significant amounts of traffic and still work efficiently. We were able to have our traffic engineer look at this, and I think I've underlined down at the bottom that the service level at this Val Vista and Thomas Road intersection operates currently at service level A and will continue to operate at service level A even with our project.
Okay, Mr. Earl. Councilman Kavanaugh.
Thank you, yes. Mr. Earl. I have a question on this with these future transportation plans. When is this improvement likely to occur? Or is that a question more for city staff? Because I don't recall this being on any bond issue or project that we have right now. Maybe I'm mistaken, but you're talking about some major improvements that I'm not sure are on the drawing board anywhere.
Well, as part of our development, when we develop our project, we're required to put in the north half street of Thomas Road, so what's out there today will be significantly improved and carry more traffic. There is currently a signal at Thomas and Val Vista. Val Vista could be improved more than it is today, but it's still a significant carrier of traffic because it's an entrance to the freeway. Mm-hmm. So even when we develop, we'll be able to have more than sufficient capacity in the lanes that are being developed as part of our project. Now, Gilbert Road, I mean, Thomas doesn't go over the freeway to Gilbert. It does if you really want to, make an effort to get there. But typically, it doesn't look inviting yet. So I think that's an improvement in future years. But certainly the intersection, most of our traffic will be going back to Val Vista in order to get on the freeway on the 202. So the vast majority of the improvements associated with our project will go in with our project.
Okay. Again, I just have a concern because... Mm-hmm. I don't think the rest of the improvements are in any planning schedule in the near future, staff.
Mayor, Councilmember Kavanaugh, I believe you're correct. As far as anything going west to get over to Gilbert Road, that would be long-term, and there aren't any specific plans
like
that I'm aware of.
10 years right now. Plus?
Probably. But more. As Mr. Earl said, those immediate improvements in front of this property over to Val Vista will be part of their
I understand that.
Project. Yes.
Thank you.
Well, I guess the question I would have to follow up on that, though, the reason why it's not planned is would there be a level of traffic that would demand that kind of improvement going to the west?
Well, yes, that is correct, Mayor. The current two-lane facility on Thomas would carry up to 11,000 vehicle trips per day in order to still maintain a service level D, but we'll be improving Thomas Road to allow significantly higher than that number of trips per day. And, of course, existing zoning would have to improve the north half of Thomas just as we're proposing with this general plan amendment. So the amount of traffic associated with our use would be probably less than, in most cases, than the current zoning. But that doesn't mean either project, whatever project goes there, would have to make the north half improvements, which will allow significantly more traffic to flow to the intersection.
And I guess what I'm hearing from you is that the traffic, the natural flow of traffic, whether they're going, two ways they can go is onto the freeway to go west or east, or headed south. If they're headed south, they're going to go to Val Vista. because it's an easier flow than going clear back to Gilbert. You can't get to Lindsay. Lindsay doesn't go through.
Right.
And to for Thomas to be extended to the west, that doesn't benefit your subdivision or even the William Line one across the street, because really when that comes through, the biggest concern would be people coming in off of Gilbert from the B line and headed to the east on that to get in. As a, that's where you're going to pick up most of that traffic because it's just so much easier to get on Val Vista. That's your contention is what I'm
saying. That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah. These are some photographs of buildings built into general industrial. I don't mean to say that this is what would be built here, but the style of general industrial is for manufacturing or for freight, for manufacturing facilities, none of which we believe are really the best use of the property across the street from what is now single-family residential. We are proposing, these are photographs of buildings that have been built by Kitchell.
If I could interrupt, Mr. Wesley, we have here a situation that does happen often, and I think if you could maybe educate us as to legal rights and what we can do. You have what appears to be conflicting designations. You have a general plan which calls for mixed-use residential. You have, which is employment and high-density residential, but you have underlying zoning, which is general industrial. Which wins out from a legal standpoint?
Yes. Mayor and Council, zoning always trumps because it is okay. The existing entitlement on the property. So today, with that general industrial zoning, if someone came in with a site plan consistent with general industrial, we would process it and allow that type of use.
I mean, we couldn't tell somebody because of the vesting of the and I'm making an assumption here. I would assume that zoning has been in place long enough, and assuming there are no defects with that zoning, if someone showed up with a general industrial plan, a site plan, we basically would be bound by the zoning designation to allow that to happen.
That is correct.
Okay.
Now, I'm showing you these photographs not because we have the zoning case, because we don't have it as the companion case. We had wished to have that if this had been a minor amendment, but we are in the process. We have, as I indicated, been to staff with our pre-app. We took their notes. We're revising the plan. We should be able to file quickly. But these are just two projects that Kitchell has recently built. One is on Baseline Road, just west of Rural Road, was formerly the Earnhardt Ford dealership. The one in the south, at the south part of the slide, is just off the 202 at Alma School Road, a street called Willis, which is called Parkland. Both of them are at the top of their market. They are award-winning projects. The rents in these kinds of facilities mean that people rent here because they want to, not because they have to. It's a lifestyle choice. They do it because they want amenities and because they don't want to have maintenance responsibilities. At whatever time of their life, they would prefer not to have a yard associated with a home. So they want luxury-level apartments. These are, again, the interior shots of those facilities with large clubhouse elements, business centers, fitness centers. These are the interior shots of those units, which, of course, show refinements in the living style, including garages, wood floors, granite countertops, dishwashers, stainless steel appliances. So, again, this is not the bottom of an apartment-type market. Now, I understand that what we're talking about tonight is a general plan designation that we're going to have to come back. But we will be coming back for the zoning associated with the general plan, and these are what we're going to be showing you at that time.
And so what would cause us to believe that you would or would fix your responsibility to build that level of project when you came back with the zoning?
Mayor Smith, the designation alone doesn't allow you to build anything. The designation suggests that you can build a project, but we have to bring back the actual zoning case in order to build anything. And so Kitchell is the owner of the property. We've been into staff. The only projects they build in Mesa are at this high end, so they have a reputation for building this. These are two projects they just built, one in Mesa, or one in Tempe, one in Chandler. Both of them are at the high end of the market. We're going to do the same thing now. I'm standing here at the podium telling you that. We're going to be filing the zoning case soon. Would have filed it earlier, but we needed to work out the challenges the site has. The challenges I indicated at the beginning are still there, and you have to work around transmission lines and well sites and cell towers and whatnot. But we're telling you that when we come back, you'll have every right to hold us to the highest level of quality that we've indicated here tonight.
And Mr. Wesley, the methodology we would do that, the zoning case, but in addition to that, what would we do?
Mayor, Council, along with that, they'll either have a site plan with them and or some design guidelines that will show the quality of the development that they intend to put in. And if the Council thought it were important, we could also work on a development agreement at that time to help ensure the high level of quality.
Would that, I mean, considering it seems like there's a substantial amount of off-site improvements on both Thomas, Val Vista, the intersection, all that. That in of itself, would that lend itself to a development agreement, or is that just sort of stipulated in the site plan and those and that's kind of documentation?
Mayor, mostly we do that through the site plan and the stipulations that go with that.
But either way, we could get to memorializing this, any commitment that they
yes.
would make as far as quality, as far as amenities, those kind of things,
yes.
through the zoning case and related actions, right?
Yes.
Okay.
One of the points that was made at the Planning Commission was that this wasn't the right use for the property because you're at an interchange of a freeway, and at an interchange of a freeway, multifamily is not the right kind of use. So we just put together this little exhibit to show all of the places where high-end multifamily projects have been built, both in Mesa and other South East Valley cities. You can see the red star at the top means that there aren't any other projects on the north leg of the 202, but there are a number on the Superstition and on the south leg of the 202. In fact, high-end apartments is a common buffer use at freeway interchanges. So we've just shown some of the projects we built. This is at the southeast corner of the freeway in Val Vista in the city of Mesa. This is a Mark Taylor project that I zoned, I don't know, about 15 years ago in the city. And so this photograph shows a project that's 15 years old and still looks just like when we built it, except that the trees are probably more mature. This is a close-up of that same project to show you that over time, if a high-quality project is built, it maintains that quality and becomes a great asset to the neighborhood. This is a project at the 202 in Williamsfield, fairly new within the last 2 years that we worked on, an excellent project, and has shown it's new and it looks good. This is one at Greenfield on the 202. It's a more modern style. This is the project that Kitchell and Mark Taylor worked on at on the old Earnhardt site on Baseline Road, just west of Rural Road. And this is a compilation of the projects. So we believe that the proposed general plan designation to shift from 30% multifamily to 100% and get rid of the industrial and create opportunities for a gateway environment here at this location is the best use of the property, especially given the fact that single families moved in across the street. One other question was asked of us about, well, why not do it commercial? Why not create a commercial project? And I need to probably go back to that first. This one will probably show it. Why not develop it commercially? Well, of course, Kitchell has built a number of great commercial projects, including at the same location on Rural Road. They just recently completed the Lowe's store on the south side of Baseline Road there at Rural. This site, unfortunately, is not rectangular in sight. And so given the fact that there are really no demographics to the north of the river, you're probably going to have one really good center here that will tie into the neighborhood, and everything on the south side of Thomas Road over to Val Vista is a large open area opportunity for commercial and is so designated on the general plan. Whereas this one, as we've seen, has a number of site constraints, including the fact that the ADOT used it for a fill site in the construction of the freeway, which means that there are certain parts of it that can't be built on at all. For all these reasons, we believe this is the appropriate designation for the property.
Great. Are there any more questions for Mr. Earle? Thank you.
Thank you.
We have two requests to speak from the public on this. So first we'll hear from Danny Wilbur. Danny? And Danny, we have a three-minute limit, but I won't cut you off because Mr. Earle got plenty of time, but just keep that in mind as you would, okay?
Okay. Mayor Smith, Council, my name is Danny Wilbur. I live at 3347 East Rochelle Street in the Lehigh Crossing community. that's my son, Evan. So I'm here because I, along with many members of my community, are wanting to preserve the unique area that Lehi has always been, and that is. Those who are familiar with that area know it's has that unique feel, very farming type community, very rural. Much of what Mr. Earl said regarding their position on why they want to seek this general plan change, I disagree with, because they are seeking to take this from an employment designation to a non-employment designation, for one. If it gets developed as it currently is, many jobs will be created to develop retail and other uses like that. You're going to create a couple hundred jobs. If you develop an apartment complex, you're going to create maybe 10. Leasing office, staff of four, property manager, maybe a landscaper. So they wanted to take it from a employment designation to a non-employment designation, which I feel is indefensible in a recession. Also, in my opinion, the real reason why they're wanting to get this change so they can develop their project is not for just because it's the best use of the land. Having spent 2 years in commercial real estate myself, there's many projects that could develop as it currently is. There's no need to change the general plan. But the real reason why they want to change it is because it's the most profitable right now. Of all the sectors out there, apartments are the hottest sector at 4%. But to develop retail, industrial, or even office, there's just no demand for it. Which is fine. The problem is you can't get a general plan change just to suit the whims of one owner. Zoning is relatively easy to change, but a general plan change is tough to get. And because they're the ones seeking to change this, I feel the burden of proof is on them to provide reasons why it's in the city's best interest, not in their best interest. If you look at the circumstances surrounding a general plan change, it states on the city's website that it's not to relieve particular hardships or to confer special privileges. And so if this gets granted to them, I feel, because most of what they've been saying is it's an irregular shaped piece of land, it can't easily be developed, and a host of other reasons, that would be to suit their needs. And again, I feel that would not be appropriate. We've also gone around ourselves and spoke with many of our neighbors, and we have 84 signatures of people in the Lehi Crossing community that do not want this project here. And there have only been about 130 homes built so far of the 900 proposed homes, or 900 homes that we'll be in. And so virtually everybody has signed it. The ones, the remaining 50, many people haven't moved in yet. But if we continue to get signatures over the next, 3-4 years, essentially everybody would oppose this project. So I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mr. Wilber. Kathleen Lopez.
Hello, Mayor and Council Members. My name is Kathleen Lopez. I live at 3352 East Roland Street in the Lehi Crossing neighborhood. I honestly wasn't going to speak today, but what motivated me to do so was listening to the explanation of the kind way people came asking for signatures in approval of this project. The representative for the company banged on my door for 5 minutes one morning, 5 minutes the next morning, 5 minutes the morning after that, even after I had already expressed my belief that I was not interested in supporting this project. So I was a little bit perturbed by that. Oh, we're really nice people, and it's going to be a great thing for this neighborhood. The actions didn't quite match the words there. Mostly I'm opposed to this because that's not what I signed up for when I purchased my house. It was the neighborhood that it is. It was zoned the way it was. I did my due diligence and read the materials that were provided to me, and I was happy with that. Was not mentioned to me that things were going to be changed. It was the way it was, and that's one of the reasons that I selected my home to purchase. I also disagree with the numbers that they're providing about the number of people who are opposed to this. I don't think that's quite fair to take a whole neighborhood that's maybe a fifth built out and say that the general population approves of a big change like this. I think we should wait until the neighborhood is built and people are actually in their homes, like Mr. White mentioned, and have them give their opinions. I just think it's a little skewed. So I personally don't want to lose my views. I don't want my property values to go down. I'm sorry, that might be just a personal opinion that that's what happened when an apartment complex is right across the street from you, but I think that's what's going to happen. I don't want there to be more traffic. I disagree that a small parcel like this with semi-industrial would have more traffic than families living in hundreds of apartment complexes. Just doesn't seem that way to me. So that's just my opinion. Thank you for time and listening to me.
Thank you, Kathleen. Appreciate it. Okay. Do we have any more requests to speak? Ms. Mickelson.
No request, Mayor.
Councilmember Richens.
I had the opportunity to meet with both the applicant and some of the neighbors, and I've heard gotten a few phone calls from folks that live in the area and emails, both in support and in opposition mm-hmm. of the project. I think they both present very good, lucid arguments as to why you should keep it and why you probably shouldn't. This is a newly developing area of Mesa. It's a great neighborhood, and it's going to be one of our great neighborhoods. You go up on the hill there, and there's some fantastic neighborhoods in that area. I have never been of the belief that apartments ruin neighborhoods, but it gives a kind of diversity to a neighborhood that makes them a little bit more interesting. I think in regards to property values, I think an industrial project would be more challenging to values than a high-quality apartment complex here. It is a tough site. But I'm supportive of the general plan amendment, and I'm looking forward to seeing the zoning and the project in the future. I know it's tough. I've been around neighborhood groups a long time, those that have seen projects like this come in that have lived in their homes for 40 or 50 years instead of 4 or 5 months. And, this neighborhood, I think, is just starting to get its voice. I'm glad that they're uniting around the issue. It's good for a developing neighborhood to have issues like this to deal with and start to, you know, decide what they are as a community. And I hope that they'll be inclusive of the folks who move into those apartments if that occurs. And I think it'll be a great benefit to that neighborhood, and I'm supporting that project.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Vice Mayor.
Thank you. Interesting. Before I came on council, I served on the Planning and Zoning Board, and I was part of the Planning and Zoning Board when Lehigh Crossings came through, and I thought it quite ironic, and I hope this doesn't come across other than I remember when all the residents that had some of the acre homes around there just fought like the Dickens to keep Lehigh Crossings out of there, and they used that same argument. And I actually voted against Lehigh Crossings as a P&Z board member because of the concerns with the industrial pits, the gravel pits, and some of the things. And it wasn't that I was against the development coming in. I was worried kind of about what's happening right now as these wonderful folks in this great community came in, that they would start being concerned about some of the industrial uses that kind of surround this area. So it's kind of interesting to see how this unfolds. A little bit of my worries are occurring. But I had the chance to drive out to this site, parked, I walked around, looked at the homes under construction, and I always try to be the observer of the obvious. And what I see is a conflict building as this apartment complex comes in. And people may not know this, but some of the most beautiful views that we have in Mesa are on that north side. When you look at Red Mountain and the McDowells and that area that goes up to Fountain Hills, and what I see the conflict, and maybe some people have observed this or not, is as this wonderful neighborhood goes in, I thought if I wanted to purchase a house, I wanted to make sure my back door and my back windows looked out towards Red Mountain. But what's going to happen is when this apartment complex goes in, it'll go right in line. And, you know, depending on some of the illustrative pictures that have been used, it's going to block that view. It's going to block all of those views, which I kind of figured is now going to be a conflict. So it may be more in depth for some of the folks that are there, but it definitely stands out as a conflict. But I grew up down there on you know, running around in Lehigh, and I remember what was there before, very industrial uses. It was an old sand and rock gravel areas, really rough, a lot of big trucks, And so if you're asking me to make a decision today, do we want that kind of industrial use or commercial or whatever they can put in there versus a really nice high-end kind of a apartment complex? I would support the apartment complex because I think dust, noise, everything that goes along with some of the industrial uses would be more inappropriate. I did have a question for the gentleman. I was looking through the narrative, and is Kitchell going to build this, or are we zoning it and preparing it to flip it to somebody else?
No, Kitchell is preparing to build this. As I thought I tried to indicate, they have teamed up with Mark Taylor in a number of projects, including the one on Country Club that came through the council a month or two ago. The project I showed you pictures of in Tempe on Baseline Road at Rural Road is a Mark Taylor-Kitchell joint venture project. And so, yes, they are planning to build this project.
Committed to it.
You're committed not gonna, to it, right. Since they're the property owner, they're not doing this to flip property.
Yeah.
They could wait a few years and develop industrially, but they just didn't feel that was the correct land use here.
Well, Mayor, if I can continue. For me, having been on the old days before the Great Recession, a lot of folks used to come in and have lots of promises, and they'd upzone things. And then it was sold off and kicked off, and then the next thing we'd be seeing changes to dummy down projects. So I'm glad you're committed. You're saying, hey, we're going to do this in cooperation. The pictures are beautiful. It looks like wonderful complexes. When you talk about 2- and 3-story buildings, I think you're going to get all that feedback. You're blocking some of the most beautiful views, but I understand. You know, if I were you, and you know, you would build those so you look out over that valley and look up into Red Mountain, some of those areas, gorgeous views. But I'm gonna support. Just wanted to give you a little bit of background where I was coming from. Definitely, I think there's going to be more concerns down the road with the folks that are there and trying to, you know, sharing some concerns about what goes in around them. So. Thank you, Mayor.
The only response I would have on the height issue is we understand that height is a sensitive issue. There are obviously some people who may have purchased their homes with the idea that there would be views. However, that with the current industrial zoning, buildings that would be built under that zoning would also block those very same views. And what we're trying to do is have a number of buildings that create view corridors, whereas the current zoning may not have that. So I know it's a big issue. We'll have to deal with it as best we can. And candidly, one of the reasons why multifamily makes more sense here as kind of a gateway use is the views that those apartments will have.
Councilor Kavanaugh.
And a follow-up, Mr. Earle, in the discussion at planning and zoning, I think that same question was asked, are you going to vary the heights of the buildings? And I really didn't find a concrete answer in the planning and zoning minutes. And so is it going to be vertical? It's going to be 2-story, 3-story, 4-story. What's the idea?
Councilmember Kavanaugh, none of the buildings will be 4-story. There will be 3-story buildings. Obviously, some of the elements of it will be 2-story elements. Some will be 1-story elements. There's carriage elements where you have a garage and then you have a unit over the top of that. The buildings may be 3-story in character with some of the other elements of them 2-story, but nothing will go over 3 stories, which is, I don't mind make an inappropriate point here, but general industrial zoning allows up to over 50 feet, and these will be 36 and below.
Right, I'm certainly aware of that. I just was trying to clarify something that wasn't clear in the planning and zoning discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions or comments? I know this property pretty well. In a previous life, both this property and the William Lyon. Oh, do you want to speak? I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't see it. It's not working. Go ahead. Councilmember Richens.
I just wanted to make a comment about that real quick. That we struggled with the same idea when Riverview was developed 6-7 years ago now about view corridors. There's lovely views off the back of the properties that run along Mountain View Drive between Alma School and Rio Salado Parkway now, along the canal there. And it was a real struggle for folks to
lose those views to some of the buildings that were being built at Mesa Riverview, beautiful views of Camelback Mountain. But I've, as a councilman, I don't feel it's my job to protect somebody's views over across to somebody else's property. If somebody has their property and they have certain rights vested, whether they be industrial or multifamily, it's not my job to protect your view. If you want to protect your view, you need to buy the property. That's or buy a property in a place where there is a permanently protected view. So, you know, I struggle with that argument. I've heard it a million times. I'm sensitive to it because I know that is a place of incredible view corridors. But we have private property here in Arizona and Mesa, and those rights are pretty important to me. And I know that the people who bought those homes felt that they had some kind of right to the view that they had. But in order to protect those, you have to take steps to protect those other parcels that will preserve such views. So, you know, and I know that won't make everybody happy, but that's the fact of life in Arizona. So, and just about anywhere in the United States. So, that being said,
thank you. Okay, any other questions, comments? As I said, I know this property pretty well. First of all, I drive down Val Vista nearly every day, at least 5-6 times a week, because I live just off of Val Vista further to the south. And so I've long watched that area. And I actually had at one time where the William Lyon is under contract as a builder and didn't go through with it. And I also had a group who tried to get me to buy this property several years ago. Since I've been mayor, I've probably had 3 or 4 proposals come in, every one of them being industrial proposals. The property went back to the bank. Kitchell picked it up. I don't know if he picked it up directly from the bank or from the owners, but I know it was those other ones. But I mean, I had everything from a construction yard to an auto storage place. You know, all things which were conforming uses under the general industrial. I look at this as a gateway area, and Mesa, for a lot of reasons, both just geography and I think lack of concentration, we don't have many gateways into our city that I would say are impressive. They're either going through an industrial area or they've seen better days or whatever it is. We have a chance here to create a gateway. I shudder to think, first of all, from a land use standpoint, don't want to get into zoning things, but industrial use coming off the freeway headed into Val Vista to the south into some beautiful citrus and some beautiful estate homes and going past industrial area is not my idea of creating a gateway. And so I have real concerns that the existing zoning would be used for what it's used, and there's hardly anything this council could do to stop that from happening. It's a right. We can talk about trying to what we could do with the developer, but if we had a developer that even followed the basic guidelines, I don't think anyone in that area would be happy with what happened. I know I would not be happy. The last thing that came before even Kitchell had it was, what about an apartment complex? And my comment was, I want it to be a gateway. If it's an apartment complex, it better be a very, very nice complex. I'm not offended by the multifamily simply because I think that you can do it well. And I recognize that from a commercial standpoint, this property is really not viable. You don't have access. You have a lot of challenges. And I don't believe that to say, well, why don't you do it commercial, is going to work. And the other thing is, once again, in the whole general plan of this property, the corners of Thomas and Val Vista are basically designated for commercial projects. And I hope that someday there will be some very nice neighborhood, higher end, which is reflective to the area, certainly to the south, that would come into that area, because I think it's conducive to that type of development. The other people I know is, I know Kitchell and I know Mark Taylor. I can tell you as someone who's worked in this industry that there are companies that I would trust very much, and we're lucky that we have companies who do business in Mesa. There are other companies I would not trust. I do not trust for them to do the right thing because of just the nature of their business. I have followed both Kitchell and Mark Taylor for many, many years. I can't tell you a complex that Mark Taylor has been involved with that I know in this valley, and I can tell you at least 20, 25 of them that I would not say is a high-quality development. It's the nature of their business. Even saying that, though, I would still, when you come back to be to the zoning, and I've talked to both the applicant and others, there will be certain obligations and safeguards I know that I will want to see as it relates to quality, as it relates to landscaping, as it relates to meeting a certain level, high level of quality. But I have no problem asking for that from these two parties, because I believe that they'll live up to that, because I've seen projects they've done, and they believe in that. The whole view thing is really interesting, because I've never seen someone who wanted to preserve their view who wasn't blocking someone else's view. It's as simple as that. And so it's a tough argument to make. I just believe that the way these buildings will be set, I don't believe there is a reasonable expectation for somebody that you're going to have that view, because there is going to be development on the north side of Thomas Road, regardless of what it is. There's going to be development. I would prefer not to see industrial development on the north side of Thomas Road. And I think that the long-term, a high-quality project on this site will be the best use and will be the best for the community and for the existing. I was one, and I'm glad to hear the Vice Mayor voted against the William Line, because frankly, I did not support. This is before we were on council. And I think the nature of the area was changed when you moved in. When William Line got that zoning, the nature of Lehigh, or that portion of Lehigh, was changed forever. And not that it's worse, it's just different. And I think that William Lyon and whoever, all the other builders who are building that, will create a wonderful neighborhood. But you have 900 plus homes going in there. The area has been changed. And you can't now all of a sudden say we want to maintain a rural type thing when you have 900 homes at 4 to 6 units per acre density. And the lowest density is 2 to 4. That just doesn't work. And so our idea now is that's what's developing, is to make sure that the development that around it complements it and does not allow for a mix of a hodgepodge, which unfortunately we have that challenge in the area because of zoning that existed when it was in the county. We have some mining operations that are going to be very tough. And we have some citrus that people sort of want to work around and want to deal with. So I'm going to support this simply because I think it is probably the best owner we could have, the best developer. I can't imagine a better developer, so I applaud you. But, this is sort of one of those trust but verify kind of things. I didn't just make that up. I would hope that when the zoning case does come through, that those promises are embedded in either a development agreement or rock hard stipulations that ensure that that this will be a high-quality development. I think once it's built, the neighbors will recognize, especially as you improve Thomas Road going east to Val Vista and improve that to a multiple lane, that it'll actually make the flow of traffic much better. So for those reasons, I'm going to support this. If there's no other comments, we'll ask for a motion. I have a motion from Councilmember Richens, a second from Councilmember Summers. Is there any further discussion? Please vote. The vote is 7-0 in the affirmative. The motion carries. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is items from citizens present. Mickelson, do we have any requests to speak?
No request, Mayor.
Okay. We have a motion from Councilmember Summers, second from Councilmember Richens to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.